This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:48 right now. Coming up on The Breakfast Grill, I'll be speaking to Izam Shah Ismail, the Dean of the School of Professional Studies at the International Centre for Education in Islamic Finance, or better known as INCEF. We're going to be talking about the pipeline of talent development and whether that's enough to fulfil the demands of the Islamic finance industry. Okay, let's take a look at Petronas, where they announced a drop in profit, a 96% drop in profit last quarter after it was hit by oil prices that remained lower for the past year. So net income fell to 348 million ringgit in the 3 months through June. Compare that to a year ago, it was 9.1 billion ringgit. Revenue fell 21% to 48 billion ringgit.
This, of course, not good news for the government because we depend a lot on Petronas for how much money goes into our coffers. In 2016, there are some estimates that 52 billion is what Petronas contributed to the government, and that's a big fall from the peak where Petronas in 2012 contributed about 80 billion. So a 30 billion fall since 2012 to the government. And now, in the last 2 years, it was around the 70 billion level. Today is about 52 billion. So slightly less than a quarter to government coffers.
You know, as they say, you know, never let a crisis go to waste. You know, if there is a shortfall, it could in fact make government more prudent in its spending, more diligent about how, in auditing how things are spent and the impact of it.
You're very hopeful and very optimistic.
That's right.
You know what that opportunity is that the government has instituted in a time of crisis? It's three letters.
Oh, GST. I know what you're talking about.
But again, and the question was raised when the GST was coming into full view, was whether we wanted to give this government, or in fact any government, more money without the necessary mechanisms to actually be physically prudent and fiscally prudent. And I think that, again, you know, we hope. And this is not just government Putrajaya, it's also governments at the state level, it's also governments in Sabah and Sarawak. Will they be prudent in the face of shrinking revenue?
Well, I have to say that I don't know about the government, but Petronas certainly has been prudent. They've embarked, they're well aware that oil prices have dropped a lot and will probably not recover to the levels that we've seen, $100 per barrel levels. And they've embarked on something they call CORAL, like cost cutting. They've, you know, looking at cutting costs, restructuring, relooking their financial structure. And they've done quite well.
Laying off people as well.
Well, okay, so the laying off people is where the human cost has been quite dramatic, right? We hear stories, of course, of people not having their contracts renewed. There were a lot of contract workers. This is probably a very good deal for a lot of people for the longest time. And, you know, many people, and you hear stories, anecdotes of people who are highly leveraged. They had more than one house because the expectation that this was going to be a long-term gig. Then they find their contracts are not renewed.
Yeah, actually, this behavior of dependence has been going on for a long time. I mean, it used to be tin and rubber until tin and rubber prices crashed. And then we moved to a kind of manufacturing and a technological base, after which that also became commoditized because of the low-cost structure of China. A lot of investments flowed out of Malaysia. And then by which time we started depending on a lot of oil and palm oil. And today we are trying to move to a policy of consumption, right? We want our people to support the economy by spending. But in this weak economic situation, who is actually going out there to spend?
Well, actually, Jules, Nestle saw its earnings grow by more than 50%. Year on year in the second quarter. So, I mean, if you want to talk about consumption, looking at Nestle and the fact that their earnings jumped 50%, can we say that consumption is back on track?
Well, the question is what kind of goods? I mean, Nestle might just represent
consumer
the kind of
staples.
You know, comfort foods, you know, highly sugared comfort foods that allow you to go.
I don't know if Nestle would take umbrage with that statement, highly sugared. They do have a lot of sugar in the food, but I think over the years they've also made some effort to reduce the sugar content, maybe by not enough. But yeah, as you say, a lot of these things are staples for many people. In fact, perhaps if you find that economic conditions are worsening, you might downtrade, right? For example, if you went to artisanal coffee every morning, you might have downtraded it to
Nescafe
or something, right?
Well, okay. And the other side of the employment story is this very interesting development in Sarawak. Because we, of course, know that when people get laid off jobs, it's a political issue. I mean, some companies have, you know, last in, first out policies, whatever. But what we see in Sarawak is the possibility of a kind of sub-regional nationalist, you know, as it were, sub-regional move, right? Where they're saying, well, if you're going to lay off people, then the priority must be to keep as many jobs for Sarawakians. Something that is extraordinary. So, in Singapore, we know when the downturn happened, a lot of expats lost their jobs, right? In Singapore, you know, again, for the natives, right, there was a kind of economic nationalism, you know. But here we have it in a kind of sub-regional
form. So the story is that Sarawak is now the chief minister of Sarawak, deputy chief minister of Sarawak, is claiming that Sarawakians have been unfairly penalised in the job cuts that Petronas has done, right? So they're laying off more Sarawakians than others. In fact, they wanted a moratorium on bringing in new workers from West Malaysia into
Sarawak. Well, not just a moratorium on the part of Petronas. They said they would refuse to give... permits, work permits, visas to peninsula employees of Petronas.
I mean, is that a fair move? I mean, I know there's a whole many facets to this story because of the 16-point agreement, etc. But I know it's really...
Absolutely. That is the question, you know. There is, of course...
It might be fair, but I think it's kind of a band-aid approach to this whole idea of preserving jobs. And if you extrapolate that to the entire country, you would really want to think of ways to raise the innovative level of the country so that we can create jobs for our people. It's not just... I mean, this is going back to that behavior of dependence, right, on certain industries and certain resources, for example, dependence on tin or rubber, and today we're dependent on palm oil or oil, and then we're dependent on consumers. But what is the real thing that will drive growth in this country? I think it's very long term. It's about our education, it's about our level of innovation, it's about our ability to go out there with our best.
Sure, but you know, you have to understand that Sarawak has complained for the longest time that their people are underrepresented in Petronas's operations in the state, right? And at levels that they think are insufficient. Then you have a question of layoffs. So, okay, companies ought to be laying off the right people. They shouldn't lay off on the basis of your identity. They should be laying off because you are not so necessary for operations. But then they said people were being rehired, and the people who were being rehired were in fact people from the peninsula. So they feel that there's been a long-term bias in the employment strategy of Petronas. And I don't know if Petronas has actually come out to address that question.
They're in talks with the state government.
I wouldn't disagree with the fact that this is all within the rights of the Sarawak state to preserve employment. But I'm not sure if Sarawak is a hotbed of employment for Malaysia, right? So that argument from a national level becomes quite moot. Really, we have to ask the question of what are we doing to raise incomes and expand jobs and investments in Malaysia.
All right, 7:57 right now. The Baltic Exchange Board has unanimously backed a takeover bid from Singapore Exchange. So this deal will give SGX access to a trading platform for the multi-billion dollar freight derivatives market.
Well, this is really interesting because this is about the transportation of goods all over the world. And you know what is, you know what the cool thing about the Baltic Exchange is, that it was set up in 1744.
No.
So this is an institution.
Okay, so
ages ago.
You have to explain to me. When you say Baltic, I'm thinking Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia and the Baltic Sea and, you know, that part of the world, the Hanseatic League.
they have a what is called the Baltic Dry Index. I'm not sure why it's linked to that specific geographic location that you're talking about, Sharad, but the Baltic Dry Index is something that tracks shipping rates for bulk goods. So if you're not sending oil, or you're not sending, I guess, chips, microchips on air freight, through air freight. If you're shipping goods like sugar and palm and so on these vessels, then that is part of the Baltic purview.
But you know something called the Hanseatic League that linked the Baltic states to the Scandinavian states. I mean, it was all these countries around the Baltic Sea, and there was trade around it. It was called the and that's very ancient. So I'm just looking at the date, from the 18th century, the mid 18th century, to see maybe that's where the link
such
is.
Such delicious information coming from you. These morsels of information. But you know, this is also about the ascendancy of Singapore as a financial center within this region. They're taking over other stock exchanges, and they're tying up with more stock exchanges around the region. And the Baltic, I guess, is one of the jigsaw, you know, one of the many jigsaws to give them greater profitability, products, as well as, I guess, greater tradability within the Singapore Stock Exchange.
Okay, we've got the Breakfast Grill coming up on the other side of the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Izam Shah Ismail, the Dean of the School of Professional Studies at INSEF, which is the Centre of Education in Islamic Finance, will be up. So stay tuned for that on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.